Back in the 700s, there was a priest who had doubts about the real presence in the Eucharist. Even though he was a priest who said, "This is my body and this is my blood," he doubted whether or not Jesus really came during that time of consecration. Some say it was because he was a scientist and was getting too caught up with his reason. Well, the Lord had mercy on him, and one day during Mass, as he said the words of consecration, the piece of bread turned into real flesh, and the chalice turned into real blood. And of course, it freaked him out. And it was preserved in Lanciano, Italy, and you can still see it today if you go there, and has been studied now by scientists who have determined it's actually heart tissue. And there's been many Eucharistic miracles attesting to the flesh from that miracle being heart tissue. And there was one atheist scientist who was given that, and upon discovering where it came from, converted to the Catholic faith. His name is Dr. Ricardo Castagnon, and he had come here some years ago to give us a talk. So if you ever see anything of his, highly recommend it. Jesus gives us sometimes these Eucharistic miracles to remind us of what we should already believe. Jesus tells us today in the gospel, "My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." And he says, you know, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." This is why it's so important to be in his church so that we can receive in communion with him. And the word there for eat, in the original language, it's actually very graphic. Kind of chewing, gnawing, tearing at it like an animal almost. It's really trying to emphasize the fact that you're not just eating soft bread, but you're eating true flesh. In a certain sense, it's a gift for us that the Eucharist doesn't always turn into real flesh or real blood in its accidents, because it is, in its substance, the flesh and blood of Christ. But fortunately for us, it still remains under the accidents, under the appearance of bread and wine, because that would gross us out. And there was once a monk in Egypt, one of the early desert fathers, who also was having doubts about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So two of his brother monks were praying for him. And so one day at Mass, they saw at the consecration time, as the priest put the bread back on the altar, the consecrated bread, appeared the child Jesus. Just kind of like St. Faustina sometimes would see the child Jesus. And then what's recorded in these writings that was found was at the fraction, the child Jesus was slain by an angel with a sword, and his blood poured into the chalice. And then when the priest was breaking up the host, the angel was breaking up the child Jesus. And then the two monks that were praying for the skeptical monk, when they came time to receive communion, they received the normal host. But the skeptical monk, when he came up to receive communion, he saw a bloody morsel of flesh tissue. And of course, he was grossed out. But then that caused him to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I believe this bread is your flesh, and I believe this chalice is your blood." And then at that, the host appeared as it normally does under the appearance of bread, and so he received. So the Lord gives us the Eucharist as a gift so that we aren't grossed out, so that we can, in our human nature, receive the bread we need to receive. Because once we are born again into spiritual life, is that it? You know, we hear St. Paul's conversion story in today's first reading, and we hear how he is baptized. But once you're baptized, once you're born again, is that it? Is that all you need to have eternal life? Well, we hear in Jesus' words today, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." But doesn't he also say elsewhere that for those who believe in him, basically, will have life? Well, to believe also means to live a life of faith. So once we are baptized, once we're born again into spiritual life, there's other sacraments that are needed. We have the sacrament of confirmation, which is kind of like that sacrament of growing in maturity, being strengthened, being fortified so that you have the courage to serve Christ in the midst of any persecution or danger. And then what else do you need when you live, when you're born? Not only do you need to grow, well, how do you grow? You need nourishment, daily nourishment even. And that's the Eucharist. So in our spiritual life, Jesus gives us the sacrament of the Eucharist so that we may have our daily spiritual, our daily supernatural bread. And that's what we pray in the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And the Greek there is actually a very unique word. Means multiple things, but give us this day our daily supernatural bread. And Jesus does that with the Eucharist. Even if we can't get to Mass every day, or we can't receive Holy Communion every day, it's good to make an act of spiritual communion, to express that desire to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, because he offers himself every day to us and has done so for almost the past 2,000 years. He comes to us. He wants to come and rest in our hearts so that we might rest in him. Jesus wants to be in communion with us. And that's why Holy Communion is such a special gift. And I remember one of my professors from Franciscan University, Dr. Johns Bergsma. He was a Protestant pastor and converted while studying at Notre Dame. He said, you know, he was always so thankful for finally having the Eucharist once he became Catholic. And it befuddled him when he met Protestants who were former Catholics. And he would ask them sometimes, "Don't you miss the Eucharist?" And he remarked one time, this lady he was talking to, like, "Well, my relationship with Jesus just really took off in this other church. My personal relationship with Jesus is just more powerful here." And he told her, "You can't have any more personal relationship with Jesus than your time in Holy Communion. How much more personal can that, how much more intimate can that be in your relationship with Jesus when he comes into you, when he comes into your heart?" And so we as Catholics have a very powerful gift, and one that we hear Jesus says gives us life. so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. You know, in the Indiana Jones movie, the third one, where Indiana Jones and the Nazis are looking for the Holy Grail, you know, there's this big quest because who doesn't want the grail of immortal life? Who wants to be invincible, basically, live forever? And yet, despite, you know, such mythological kind of portrayal of the grail, Jesus gives us that grail. He gives us, offers us that immortal life, eternal life, every day at Mass. We don't need to go hunting down through some crazy maze or on some big adventure. Jesus provides that already. And yet, how many people don't take advantage of this gift? And so that's why sometimes, going back to the Eucharistic miracles, Jesus sometimes has to shake us up, wake us up, just like he did with St. Paul, right? St. Paul has this crazy conversion story with the sky flashing around him and Jesus appearing to him with the voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul has to be wakened up because of his lack of faith, because of the blindness he has according to his sin. And so that's why Jesus gives us sometimes these Eucharistic miracles, to wake us up a little bit to the reality that is in front of us. In a certain sense, it's actually not good that we have Eucharistic miracles. Why? Because they usually come in a time when there is doubt, as with the stories I already shared. But yet nonetheless, Jesus is giving it to us for a reason, so it's important to study them, to accept them, maybe to affirm our faith. But King St. Louis, he is a model of someone who we should ascribe to follow. When in his chapel, in his kingdom, there was a chapel in which someone came and reported to him, "Your Majesty, there's the infant Jesus appearing in the hosts in the chapel." And he was in the middle of writing something, and without being disturbed, he said, "My faith in the Eucharist can not be any more increased than it is right now." Basically saying, what do I need to go see this Eucharistic miracle for? I already believe. Jesus is there. I can see him with the eyes of faith. I don't need to see him in this Eucharistic miracle. Nonetheless, Jesus gives it to us, and it's important then to especially share those stories with those who are doubting. And here at the Shrine next month, May 16th, Thursday night at 7 p.m., we'll have Michael O'Neill sharing a talk on Eucharistic miracles. Blessed Carlos Acutis, who was recently beatified, he also created a website before he died, compiling all these Eucharistic miracles throughout the church's history. So I encourage you to check that out as well. And it's a reminder then to ask the Lord to have the faith to believe his words. "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Because if we don't believe, if we don't believe Jesus is really in the Eucharist, then you shouldn't be receiving Holy Communion. But you should be desiring to one day do so. Ask the Lord, "Lord, help my unbelief." And when we do receive Holy Communion then, realize that you are being given eternal life day by day in your spiritual life. And sure, we are not always worthy, right? That's what we pray before we receive Jesus. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, my soul shall be healed. But there's also a special gift that comes with receiving Holy Communion. Even our venial sins can be wiped away. But we must prepare by at least being in the state of grace. We can't pretend not to be ascribing to live out Jesus' will. When we pray the Our Father, we're saying, give us this daily bread. But what else do we pray? We pray, thy will be done. So we have to actually be living out Jesus' will as revealed in the teachings of the church and in Scripture, following his commandments. We can't fool ourselves that we can receive Holy Communion and still be living in mortal sin. But just like St. Paul was rescued from the grips of deadly sin and was baptized, we also are given a gift in the spiritual life. So just like we are given spiritual bread, we also have a spiritual medicine for our spiritual life, and that is confession. We can receive a renewal of that grace of baptism in confession, in the sacrament of penance, receiving that medicine of mercy so that we can be prepared to receive the Eucharist. And in this way, Jesus gives us everything we need for our spiritual life. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. May we grow in gratitude and thanksgiving for this beautiful gift, in which we also get a foretaste of the communion with God that we are promised to have in heaven, that we hope to have in heaven.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.